Okay, call the meeting to order. First thing on the agenda is modification to the agenda.
I need a motion to add approval of the property valuation and review decision for change to the grant list for Skyfall Development LLC to $533,700. So that's what it's going to be when we get to that. That particular article, but at this point, we just need to add that to the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Review and approve orders, correspondence, and so on and so forth. Casella contract.
Ready?
We're ready.
Okay. So, guys, the contract, the existing contract that you guys have been, you've been working under expired quite a while ago. So I figured that's why we're being denied to come up and chat with you guys about the new contract. Pretty much, it's a straightforward contract. I got three copies of it here for everybody to look at.
You need this?
The rates have been, the last time, so within one of my issues is the kind of controller that was responsible for doing price increases. The last time you guys had an actual price increase was January of 2022. So I have adjusted these rates in this new contract to reflect the.
Well, how much did they go down?
They didn't go down.
Stuff was a lot more expensive in 2022 than it was in 2024.
So I've adjusted these rates based on the garbage and trash consumer price index that we use. We use that index because it closely tracks our industry. So, you know, a gallon of milk doesn't matter to us, but steel prices, truck prices, container prices, that's what that index tracks. Under normal circumstances, it was actually tracking under standard Northeast Region CPI. But because of the inflation issues that we've had, it's obviously a little bit higher, but a couple percentages higher. But it is coming down.
Your garbage didn't go up enough?
No. This has a fuel surcharge in it, just like the one that we've been working off of. That kicks in at $3.40, and it adjusts weekly. The only other thing that I've added to this contract is I've added $50 rental per container that we own. Container prices have just skyrocketed. Well, as you guys know, you bought a $13,000 40-yard compactor that used to cost $4. The 30-yard containers that we have up there, they're $6,000 now a piece. So just trying to cover the depreciation costs of those containers because the depreciable life of our containers is about 10 years. And along with that, we spend about $35,000 a month in container maintenance, maintaining our fleet of containers. So it's just to cover that. Mm-hmm. Recycling, there has been a change with recycling. We used to actually get paid for recycling. About 5 years ago, that completely changed, and now recycling costs more to get rid of than actual trash. So that's reflected in this.
I think we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
When we went to this pay-as-you-throw.
So that's reflected in this contract. That you guys obviously don't generate a huge amount of recycling a year, so the impact, there is going to be a small impact, but it's not going to be an astronomical. This is a 5-year deal. If you guys don't want to do a 5-year deal, we can do a 3-year deal. 5-year deal, you know, if you do a 3, then I just got to come back up here in 3 years. So, completely up to you on that. And the rates will adjust based on the 12-month average of the garbage and trash CPI on the anniversary of the contract each year.
Anybody have any questions?
What's the schedule to start?
July 15th.
So Already started, we haven't approved it yet.
Do you have a copy of the fees from the previous contract?
I have. So, for example, the haul rates for the containers were $221.65. And the way I got to that number is 2023, the garbage trash CPI for the year was 7.3%. So 7.3% increase. And then the 12-month average of the CPI from now back is 6.8. So I use those percentages to increase those rates.
Is what it is, I guess.
We got a lot of options.
No. Well, you can go with three.
What was the old haul rate for the 30-yard open top of metal?
The 30-yard open top of metal was 221. That is another change in here. Is that I increased the haul, but I am rebating you guys $35 a ton on the metal.
Okay.
And previous to that, we were charging you 70. So
okay.
There's a big change.
Okay, right. Cool. All
right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Mark had mentioned it to any of you when he held court down there that came in, but he informed me that we were getting ripped off and we should switch to another company. And then when I talked to Randy, Randy said, well, the wash part of it is that, you know, if we have to truck that stuff further, that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it. So it didn't seem to matter.
Talking about regarding metal.
Yeah, the metal. Yeah.
To, down to Hoosier Falls. Okay. So that's why the hauling is higher than the trash, because the trash, you know, just goes to our facility.
Okay.
But again, you looked at the average. Obviously, you want to try to get as much metal as possible.
Yeah.
You average about 3.5-4 tons. So
yeah.
That should offset that increase haul. Plus, I'm not going to charge you $70 a ton. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we try to keep it packed down. You know, some of it's kind of hard to, you know.
You don't do a lot of hauls. But
yeah.
And tires, the company we use, BDS Tire, they're out of Maine, they actually recycle the tires. Their disposal rates have gone through the roof too, so that's reflected in this contract. That's not something that we can control. Mm-hmm. And again, you do very small amount of tires. So
yeah.
Not a huge impact.
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Faustin, you want to come back?
3-5. Well, that's a 5. So.
That's a 5. I can come back next year if you want. Especially in July.
February's out, right?
Well,
yeah. It's funny because every time I've come up, I would come up here, but it would be like, snowing sideways. You're like, why am I here?
Yeah.
Where was my attic?
Excuse me?
Where do you travel from?
I live in Dorset.
Okay.
But I speed travel.
Okay. Thanks, Randy.
Back with an hour.
Thanks for fielding my questions when I need them.
Two copies on it?
Yeah.
Three.
Okay. Yeah.
From time to time, I reach out to Randy for advice on how to deal with certain things. And he's always, he's never steered me wrong yet, so. Yep.
Gotta keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, no, it's working good. Everything we're doing is working good.
Made it a lot easier. So recycling costs more than trash now, huh? Wow.
So I'll give you the true numbers. Right now, Rutland Murph, which is our facility, is charging me $120 a ton for recycling.
Oh, you get it. Was that just, you're the only one who's assigned it? I guess, yeah.
So, we pick up your material, we have to haul it down to,
would you
our facility in Manchester.
You dump where did you sign them?
Reload it into tractor trailers and then truck it. So that's why there's we add on the $34 for
Then it says they are not much of a sign of the recycling where
Does, that mean,
does it actually get recycled, or does it just end up in a landfill?
It's recycled. If you ever want a tour, I'll take it, and you can see the crap come in and the bales go out. So.
But when it goes out, where does it go?
It goes to mills. It processes the material.
Okay. Sounds like they're just burning it anyway.
No, it's really recycling. It's pretty crazy when you read these articles about plastics don't get recycled, which is complete bullshit.
It's bulk. Okay.
For what? I probably should have said that.
That's all right.
You won the pool.
If anybody's ever interested and never in Loveland, I should leave my card.
Do you want to endorse this channel? And then I'll just make a copy of that last page and keep one of these and we'll be all set.
So if they start making stuff out of recycled goods versus milk, that's going to cost more too. Huh.
Because the supply stream has increased cost. Right.
It's going to cost you more no matter what you do. You save $2 here and spend $3 there.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Altus. I'll go ahead and make just a copy of that last page and I'll keep one of these and then you can take this one with you.
Perfect. So, again, if you're interested in seeing the facility, it's pretty amazing. It's got robots and sort of plastic. It's pretty amazing. Huh. And we're processing 3,000 tons a year.
$45,000 of recycling. How many tons of trash do you have here?
That facility accepts material from New Hampshire, New York, place. So my operations are basically the southwest of Vermont, Addison, Rutland, and Medica County. But probably 60,000 to 80,000 tons a year with my operation. Keeps us busy.
Yep. That's all set.
All right. Set. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks for your time.
Yep.
Do you hesitate to call Chris?
Yeah, no, I don't. I try not to bug you too much, but
all right.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. Take care.
Thank you for your improvements. Are you improving your rec area?
I can. I can try.
Is that why you're here?
I think so.
I think so.
Ball field guy, playground gal.
Keeping the family, huh?
I put it out on the school board meeting. All the other young people are gone and no one else showed up. So.
Here I am.
I did. They have the kids. Meeting last week and put it out to anyone who wants to come.
Right.
And we can keep them involved. I'm happy to be the liaison and spearhead it and help with however I can. What's that?
Nobody likes meetings.
Yeah.
You don't get involved. Sometimes nothing happens. So
yeah.
You know what it is.
Can't complain.
Well, thank you guys for showing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You just know you have to listen to me. That's why you're here.
Yeah.
So.
What are we proposing to do?
I guess we're going to fix the ball lamin up. Is that the plan?
That's what he was saying. Yeah, I went down there and looked at it, and there's probably from 1 to 4 inches of clay on top of it that can probably just be already raked and edge it and try to get the grass off, I guess. I don't know what everybody's looking to do.
I think just
spruce up so it's usable.
Yeah, new bases. We've been up there using it. It's real rough.
Yeah.
So new bases and just really
softball slash little league.
Yeah, it's set up for like softball now. It's all clay,
right?
The whole diamond. So just leave it like that. Yeah.
Once we bury some posts, I wouldn't even do that. I would just add them when if we ever went baseball route. Just put.
Well, we had it set up for baseball, but we never. Got to take the grass out because where the base second base goes is right on the edge of the grass.
Yeah.
So we would have to take like however many feet you need beyond the base to have for infield.
Yeah. I don't see that we ever need to be.
Well, no. Whatever we would just deal with it then. I mean,
yeah.
Just little league mostly.
Little league and softball are very close.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, the bases are the same. I think anything is a little different. It's the pitcher's mound.
Yeah,
I think it's like less than a foot.
It's minute,
yeah.
And I don't know if that stuff has come in. I asked Candy to order two rubbers in case we wanted to put them both in. So if someone was confused about where they should be pitching from, they could pitch off either one.
Yeah.
But then the more I got thinking about it, I was like, the further one may be tripping over the one in front of them, so we can make that decision when we get there.
Right.
Or maybe we could pick an average. I mean, I don't...
Do they pull up?
Yeah, they're usually on spikes. Yeah. Usually, or the ones I've seen.
We could just make it, measure it out before somebody like, I'll pick it. Is it more than a foot? 2 feet?
I don't remember, Greg.
Yeah. Around 45 feet, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just look up the specs for a little bit.
Yeah. But the bases, I think, are the same length. Yeah.
And so how's this going to be when we're done? Is it going to be a clay infield again, or...
Just redress what's there.
Does it look okay? Like, is it really wet?
A little low.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth adding any clay, or if you wanted to make the infield grass, you could take all the clay out of there and use it in the other spots. You wouldn't have to buy clay and just put topsoil in the middle.
Could apply a little parking lot down there.
Yeah,
that would probably be better to actually have grass.
I think it would make a lot more sense to have grass because we're going to be having this conversation every 2 years.
Exactly.
If we don't put a fabric down that's going
to
keep the weeds from growing.
At least we can grow that. You just have to maintain the base pass.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think weeds are going to grow in the clay either way.
Yeah, they are, but if you don't have 10,000 square feet of it, it's a lot easier to deal with down the road.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to deal with if it's a big, wide open space like it is now, though.
Or burn it once a year, or just drag the drag around it.
Yeah, it needs to be maintained. Nothing's been done to it for.
Yeah.
I went down one year on my hands and knees and pulled all the weeds out.
You wouldn't be doing that now.
No, I know that. There's too many there.
You better pack a lunch.
You'd never get back up unless somebody was there to help you. Anyway.
For sure.
You would definitely have enough clay to fill it all up if you dug out less in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And add it around the outside.
So we got two options. We can dress what's there and leave it all clay, or we can put a grass diamond in the middle and maintain base paths.
Yeah, and of course the swales out from first to third.
Yeah.
It'd be easier
to maintain.
Oh, absolutely.
Open,
isn't it? Grass, you just mow. That's easy.
Well, you grass your mow, but then you get, when you maintain your infield base, you have to go around just instead of having a big wide open space to work with.
Right. I think that would be the way to do it.
Less clay to drag.
Yeah.
And maintain. Just mow the grass and drag.
What's the water situation there? Is it still all drained to that? Is it pretty wet there when it rains?
No.
So you were talking about the dugouts or something. Are you going to move those? Or?
Well, we're going to have to do something with them. And I don't know. They may be beyond repair. Mm. They're rotting into the ground.
Yeah.
And when they built them, why they didn't put them on a pressure-treated beam is beyond me.
They get into the cells and all that?
I haven't been able to tell yet, Greg. Yeah. And since it's dry, I was thinking about going down with a loader and putting the forks under and lifting them up a little bit so I can see whether... sliding like an 8x8 treated under. I know they need new steps.
Yeah.
And but I don't know how far it's gone. It's too hard to tell, you know.
They're just sitting on hemlock skids.
Yeah. Yeah. 6x6s.
Yeah.
And that are becoming 3x6s, you know. I think the placement of them is okay. I think they just need to be propped up, and then the steps need to be fixed, and then there's some carpentry that needs to be done.
Or some treated.
Yeah. And I got all kinds of 8x8 treated down there from another project that we didn't use it for. So if we can just...
Is there a way you guys can take a look at that?
I'm going to have to get the loader on it to pick them up. You know, I think if I just go down with the forks and gently pick them up, I can tell whether it's rotting out the joists or not.
Right.
If it's rotting out the joists, I think you ought to have fire practice on them, honestly, because and either start over or don't have them.
Right.
I mean, I don't think anybody's played softball down there since the last time we got drunk down there 20 years ago. You know, so I'm not sure that we need to
put some benches
there.
Benches.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been 20 years since I played softball there.
Yeah.
I remember playing one game, maybe not 20.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, it is. It's fun. We just
have that for the umpire.
We can, but we can, you know, see what the condition of those is.
The catcher.
And if we can save them, by all means, if they ain't broke, don't fix them.
Well, I'm just thinking, the sooner, if it sits another winter, probably going to get any better. Yeah, the placement of those. I mean, basically, they're for protection. You got kids in them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people take line drives to the. It's not pretty. It's
It's
usually an adult that's not paying attention.
And hopefully they haven't rotted up into the framing of them, and we can just, kind of fix what's there.
Right. What's on them for siding? It's like.
Texture 111.
So. I think you two are not speaking the same language. You're saying leave the infield 100% clay, no grass.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It'd be easy to maintain. But.
You're thinking that if we dig out the center to put in topsoil and grow grass, then the clay that's existing could be used to rebuild base pads.
Yes.
And bring the grade up.
And bring the grade up to where it would need to be.
Yeah.
I don't care which way we go.
I think it'd be easier to maintain the field, too, for playing, like the weeds will be back in that thing in
2 years. Who's going to maintain it? I mean, do you guys have time to go down there and drag a drag around it once every 2 weeks? Or
try? I mean, it just depends on the weather and
during
the summer. It depends on who's on vacation and when. And,
would the drag be left down there?
It is down there.
There'd be plenty of people who probably just volunteer to do it. Chris would probably do it.
If he has an ATV, you can pull it around by hand.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Or we could potentially add it into. We could potentially add it into the.
You have a drag queen sign-up
sheet. We could potentially add that into the mowing contract.
Yeah.
Each time it gets mowed, you drag the infield.
True. That's a good way to do it, actually. Can do that much, especially if you do it regularly, right?
It hasn't been dragged for years.
No.
In years.
Will dragging it, that should maintain a weed-free situation, in theory?
Pretty
kind
much.
Of, sort of, not really?
Think.
We need some neurotoxins and let the kids roll in the dirt?
Weed burner?
Burn them all?
Get some little pellets that kill the weed and just spread them around.
Or possibly put some fabric under it.
I mean, if you're going to be,
To keep that crap from rolling up through it all the time.
Right. Fabric will help, at least.
It would help, but it'll still get through it somehow.
Yeah, eventually.
But.
So we need to know what we're going to spend on this, right?
Well, I think, We'll be told which way we want to go, I guess.
How are you going to know?
Yeah. The other thing is low. The 1 year that Warsburg destroyed their rec, or their little league field, plowing it off for town meeting, I mean, what a mess. I went down, I wanted to kill somebody. I ain't here. So we did it up here when it was wet. And every time it rains, everything drains. That was the wettest part of the field, was the infield and home plate and all that. So, I mean, by bringing that up, I think it will help that situation a lot, too.
Yeah.
You know, rather have puddles in the outfield than puddles in the home plate area.
It's all slow, it's just stuff is washed away over the years, and that's never been replaced.
I mean, I did Little League 20 years ago now. So it was not good then. So.
I don't think we had drains in 20 years. There was a drain behind home plate.
How much does it need to come up?
Just a couple inches, probably. 2 or 3. And you would probably get that from the clay that's there if you dug out the infield diamond.
I kind of think it makes more sense to buy 3 trucks of clay and just spread it over the diamond, you know, bring it up in pure clay rather than trying to dig out weed-infested clay. And although, you know, sure, you've got the grass area in the center that is going to be mowed and the other area that needs to be raked, if you're just rake, if, you know, I think it's going to take an extra 15 minutes to rake the whole thing if there's no grass, as opposed to rake what's there if there is grass. I think it's almost, but from a construction standpoint, my gut says it would be less money to just lay some fabric and then bring grade up
with all clay.
With all clay. What do you think, Grayson?
Probably, yeah. It sounds. You might want the fabric lower. Deeper than 3 inches.
Deeper than, yeah.
If you're going to use the drag down there, you better put it about 8 inches. Because the teeth on that drag are about that long, so you're going to rip it all off.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Putting fabric, it's got to be pretty deep. And I don't know that.
What's fabric going to do?
You're putting fabric 8 inches.
The weeds are coming up 8 inches down. The weeds are coming to the top down.
Yeah, so maybe we don't even bother with fabric.
I wouldn't bother with
fabric.
Okay.
But you're just going to have to deal with weeds a lot.
You just saved us a $600 roller.
At least, yeah.
No, like I said, it has to be maintained. You've got to drag it more than once every 5 or 6 years or every 10 years.
I would just try to turn up what's there, get the weeds out, rake all the weeds out best I can, and then just add, like you said, however many truckloads you need, 3, 4.
So will you work up a proposal so we can see the price and officially approve
it? Measure it and set bases and everything. Are there bases with stands and stuff down there?
She has mortar.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to use the old ones. We're going to check them. They're junk.
Everything's junk.
It comes with a square and then goes in the grass.
The square sinks in the ground and the place goes in that. There's a cap.
And then they generally have a cap, like for the off season. You can keep water from getting at them, or somebody, if they fall, ripping their leg open on it.
Okay.
Well, so you can mow over too if you have it on the grass. But,
okay.
Supposedly, that's all it's supposed to come with the bases. All this stuff.
Perfect.
All right. So we're going to go total clay. And then
just for your information, it's not clay.
What is it?
Well, maybe we ought to put clay instead of that shit that's down there, because that stuff never hardens.
That stuff was made for infield.
Well, I think part of the problem down there, and I'm not a soil engineer, but I think the material that's under that is part of the water problem. That dead sand that they put in there from Mitchell's pit doesn't drain. It's like a big sponge. The whole thing is like a big sponge. You walk on it and you sink into it everywhere, you know?
So are we wasting our time?
Well, no, but maybe a truer clay than that crap that we got up in Castleton. It was pretty. It was green.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that something that hardens a little bit better, and then I think the weeds are less likely. Yeah, and then I think the weeds are less likely to accumulate on it as much.
What is that stuff that's there? It's not clay.
I forget what they call it, but it's an infield mix. It's made for ball fields.
Yeah.
It's not clay.
Probably for ones that have real good drainage on them.
Yeah. And used all the time.
Or it's not supposed to be clay anyway, but maybe there's more clay in it. Than
we went up and got some of it in Castleton once, and I don't remember. It was a long time ago. Got it.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
Probably slate burned up or something.
Probably it is. Yeah. And I think they treat it with color.
It's more like the stone dust we had down here in the Sawstone pit.
If you look at Castleton, you get into that slate.
It's probably what it is, ground up slate.
Yeah.
Fenway's crushed brick.
Maybe we can check it out and find out what else we can get besides that. It would be better. Something would harden up more.
Yep.
And the water would run.
I think that would work better. I think, weeds are less likely to accumulate as much in it.
Yeah.
I think they grow in that because it's so soft.
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk in that in sneakers, you leave tracks. Yeah. Every, you know, it's like.
I was just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if that drag goes down 8 inches, we're going to have.
Well, it doesn't go down 8 inches, Greg. I was exaggerating a little, but the teeth on that are probably that long. You know, on that drag.
They're probably 6 or 8 inches.
Yeah, yeah, they're.
We don't want the teeth bringing up stuff from below.
Well, I think if we're going to drag it, we may want to look into a different type of a drag, because I think the one we have is a little too aggressive to do that. I mean, that's a pretty, it's heavy and it's aggressive. It really is. I think it, I think.
Box spring or rapid.
Or.
Cut the tines.
Yeah, or.
Cut the tines down?
Why would you? You know, yes. I mean, you know, for what they cost,
we'll drop it off
you
at
know,
your house with a grinder.
I mean, I think we'd be better off looking for like a chain mesh or something like that, like they actually, you know, like they use.
You can use that drag upside down. Works okay. Well,
yeah, you might be able to use it.
You can use them both ways.
Yeah. And we could experiment with that one upside down and see if it works better.
Yep.
You know, because it's probably got enough weight to do what we're looking to do if we get the right product in
just
there.
Skin, just.
Yeah,
because
we did play around with dragging that years ago, and the thing just wants to sink out of sight because it's so, and then you almost can't drag it, you know, I mean, you need a skitter.
You're re-dragging the thing every time.
Well, you don't even move, because it just stops you, you know, I mean, it's just too aggressive,
so.
Okay, why don't you work up a price? Some kind and get back to us.
You think the ditch is working okay at all?
I'll look at that better. I can go back down there. And
yeah.
If those dugouts are going to move, you could kind of grade under, and they seem to a bowl in between the field and the dugouts just sunk in from being mowed and driven through, and everything has sunk and made ruts in there. So we could build those. At least Harley Ray can smooth it toward the ditch, maybe.
Yeah.
I can look at that and add that into it.
Yeah, I'll try to get down this week, and we can take a look at, you know, it's going to have to be tomorrow. And we can see what the status of those dugouts is, if they're...
You going to do that tomorrow, yeah?
Well, we better, because it's going to rain Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, so if we can go down, it's just going to take a few minutes to just, if I can lift them up without damaging them, you know, any further than they are, just see if they look like mush underneath, or if the floor joists look okay, then we can probably, you know... Probably do something,
right?
You know.
Okay. Well, that's good. So we got the ball started there. That's good.
Okay.
What do you think about the playground situation, Dev?
I don't know. You started ripping stuff out, I heard.
We took out everything that we believe is unsafe. There's one more thing that, I guess, depending upon whose interpretation it. It's an old wooden thing that kids can climb on, and then it's got like this spiderweb-looking thing. And, I mean, it seems okay, but it doesn't have many more Christmases because the wood is just, you know, I mean...
Well, that's been there since before the ballpark, hasn't it? The playground?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like rotting into decay, but it's, you know, it's compromised, you know.
Do we want to get the... experts in there to look at it, or
who are the experts?
State.
No. State.
Yeah. VLC. Probably talking about VLCT. In general area. The safety.
Well, I mean, I think either.
If he's still
either we say yes or no and just rip it out of there. The thing's been there since Christ was a corporal. So, you know, we ought to just get it out of there. You know, I mean, we didn't rip it out that day just because it was kind of like, well, it doesn't look that bad. Let's leave it. And then I wanted to get this conversation going to find out what we want to do.
If it's questionable, she'd probably go.
Yeah.
So, if that goes, how many devices are left there to play on? Not many? Or?
Well, there's the merry-go-round, but I guess now my understanding is those are unsafe because somebody could get thrown off it, or... There's a jungle gym, and then there's a swing set, and there's a tetherball pole with no tetherball on it currently, but we have one up in the shed.
Okay.
there's a little
slide.
Tiny, yeah, there's like a slide, and then there's this like little tiny thing that a kid can sit on. It has a little backhoe, and yeah, you just manually like dig in it, and that's really about all that's left. We took out the teeter-totter. We took out the little, there was a swing set there designed for like infants or toddlers, but I did save the chains and the seats off that, so if we want to put them on the other one, you could have like a bigger kid and a little kid, but the other one was wrecked by that tree that got hit. A tree wiped it out.
Yeah.
The teeter totter was all, and then there was two of those little things that are on a big coil spring that you can like. One of them looked like a motorcycle, and the other looked like a worm. They were all pushed out of the ground and all falling apart. So we got rid of those. And that's all I remember. There's that talking tube thing that you can, you know, there's a tube that goes underground and you can, it's the underground version of two cans and a string, I guess, basically. But that's, I think that's about it as far as, and that thing that I think we're going to take out now, which.
So would that suffice, or should we add some more stuff to it, Devin? What do you think?
I mean, it's pretty dated.
Yeah.
Overall, I don't know. I mean, it gets used by lots by locals. There's more locals coming into town with little kids, and definitely out-of-staters go up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very inviting, and it's not accessible that well for. I mean, you can get down there, but it's definitely not ADA accessible, that's for sure. Not that it has to be. I don't know what the standards are these days for that, but.
I don't think it's supposed to be. The plan was to make that road so they could drive down there for the handicap and be able to get down there, but we never did anything with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would make good sense if, we're not breaking a budget to maintain what was originally there, like if we need to pull a teeter-totter, we replace a teeter-totter.
Well, you still have the question of accessibility.
Yeah, but if we're gonna, rather than when we take, if we're gonna take something out, we replace it. We maintain the original plan of the place.
Yeah,
assuming that it's financially feasible.
The only reason that I asked, for Devin to have some input in is I was like, maybe some new things have come along
Well, I mean, you ever seen that?
We threw rocks at each other when I was a kid. That was our entertainment, slingshots and all kinds of BB guns and all kinds of cool stuff. Oh yeah, there's some new things. There's. Some of them have those little climbing wall things. There's all kinds of different, So I just said, well, maybe it's time to bring it up a century.
I think you had a good idea, though, by conferring with VLCT to make sure we're not, you do this all up nice, and they say, you can't do that.
Yeah.
That can't be there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we need to make sure we can be insured.
Yeah. To make sure, we don't want to be sued and stuff like that. We want it to be right.
I have one other idea that I know that I don't know if it would make sense or not, but if we're going to start focusing some more energy and money into like the ball field area, I know you guys have talked about pavilion for like a long time. If that ever happens, I assume that's where you do it.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Or I don't know if it would make sense to
by the playground or something.
No, by the ball field.
On the ball field itself?
Like way out in
where
your field.
I know how expensive playground equipment is, but like what if we started migrating the new playground over there to make that sort of the central hub, so every piece you pull out, you can kind of start building another location down there. It'd be easier to install. It'd be more accessible for everyone. People could be using the ball field while the little kids play on the playground and the pavilion. Instead of it being tucked down in the corner where it is, you can leave what's there, and if you want to, you can start adding in a new location and eventually migrate it all to that central hub, which would take time, obviously.
Yeah.
But
that end of the field was designed for soccer.
Yeah. That's huge. You could do it off to the side, no problem, between by the bank there or by those stairs. needs a little wet there, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
big space
is
not really utilized other than for walking.
Well, we're doing the pavilion. That's where we are putting it, right? We talked about enclosing a basketball court.
We're never deciding where we're going to put it. But.
Yeah.
That was just an idea I had, kind of centralize it.
Well, whenever there's weddings and stuff down there, I mean, that's where the tents go and all. You know, it's a great place for.
Well, we had, you know, we had even gone as far as to get, you know, we even gave Green Mountain Power deposit money to get power out there. You
right.
know, but then we kind of just every time we have this conversation. We never really finish it because there's different ideas and we can never really decide what we want to do. And
mm-hmm.
I think it would be the logical place to have it
mm-hmm.
because it's flat. And I think there's still room to do that. And even if you put a pavilion up on that end, I mean, Manny Ramirez couldn't hit one out of left field down there now, you know, and it's that field's like 600 feet long. I mean, I think we measured it, you know, so I think there would be plenty of room
that's
for everything.
It's big.
You know, yeah,
stuff down
yeah,
there.
And it's flat, and yeah, we may have to upgrade the road coming in a little bit. And my theory was if we had power there, if you have a band for an event, they don't have to be listening to a generator. If you have a caterer, they've
yeah.
got places to plug their stuff in, and
yeah.
It's just a lot more useful space,
yeah,
especially to play.
Yeah.
We're kind of right now the playground's tucked down in the woods, and it's,
yeah,
the steps are sketchy to get down to with
yeah.
little kids, and it's just not ideal.
Yeah,
where it is.
Yeah.
If I could vote, I'd vote to eventually migrate it over. Obviously,
yeah,
not all
not
at
a,
once,
it's,
but.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you know.
Isn't there a flat area at the top of the stairs at the end of the parking lot there? Going down to the ball field?
Yeah.
Did you clear those trees in there?
Yeah.
Is there enough?
You mean like that little parking lot that's above the ball field?
Yeah. So
that's not very big.
Where the stairs go down,
yeah,
there's no flat area there.
Well, I was always thinking it would go like kind of. As you drive in, the parking lot is to your left. There's where the picnic tables are, sort of closer to the compost and to the toilet. That's where I always envisioned the pavilion would be. Because then it's closer to the parking lot.
Plus the toilet, yeah.
You know, plus the toilet. I mean, not that toilet, I mean, I can't imagine that toilet's designed to handle a 200-person wedding.
No,
it's like it's either a 750 or 1,000 gallon tank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a
7 tank.
Oh,
it's just a tank.
Just yeah.
I'm not sure what it was.
So, yeah, but I mean, if you have a big amount.
Yeah, it might be. It's a pretty good size one.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it pumped, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's a big one. I think it's a little bigger.
Yeah.
Just remember, any major changes down there requires Act 250,
yeah.
which means you're probably going to have some engineer design, play it out.
Yeah.
Do playgrounds fall under that?
I would think so.
Yeah.
We had to amend the Act 250 for men to put lights in
the layout.
Yeah.
Down
yeah. So it's.
But if we.
It's I mean,
but we potentially.
Do you have to install equipment where it is? New equipment? Would you have to do that anyways?
I don't know.
Even if it's.
I don't know. I could just.
Yeah.
I
would guess.
Minor changes, though. I'm not telling you they don't worry about, but some major layout change.
I could say.
You're going to do a pavilion and you got to go over, you're going to have to go to Act 250.
Replacing a seesaw where there used to be a seesaw.
Okay. That's no problem.
Yeah.
And you're going to touch Act 250.
No.
Even put something different in there, I wouldn't think would.
Excuse me.
Right. That area, if we maintain that area as a playground. So, I mean, action items. I mean,
the first step is just get a jurisdictional opinion from Act 250 and let you know.
Yeah. Well, we have to decide what we want to do first and then go from there.
I mean, the last conversation about a pavilion, what kind of budget were we talking about and do we have the money?
Well, we got to we were adding money to that. And I think there was an estimate, fairly high estimate, over $100,000.
Oh, I would say.
And that included, my understanding was included doing the Act 250 that was required, doing everything that was required.
You would think this pavilion is sitting on a concrete slab, right?
I would.
Yeah.
Part of the problem, too, has been, is every time we talk about this, then Rob comes in and wants to be involved in the design of it and possibly donating some of it. but he's never really dropped his hand as far as like what he's willing to do. But we're at that money threshold where we would have to put it out to bid. And in order to put it out to bid, we have to have a design, because you can't just say, build us a pavilion, because somebody like Rob could build us a really nice one. And you can have some joker come in that's going to put it on 4x4 pressure treated posts with a truss roof and, you know, strapping and metal. So, it's, you know, and I, that's not a dig at Rob, but I mean, I think we got to decide, A, do we want one? B, where do we want it? And how big do we want it? What's the design? And then it's going to have to, it's going to meet that bid threshold. For sure, you know, and it's kind of not fair to ask Rob to design the whole thing so somebody can underbid him. You know, I mean, it's really... Well, yeah, I understand that, but I mean, the moral side of me says that's not good business. You know, I mean, I think it's unfair.
But he would do it, he would do it to help the town, he's anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago.
Back to the F-250 stuff, just to keep things in perspective, the new trails they put in down there require an amendment.
So maybe we need to come up with like a master plan of what the hell we really want to do, finished product, if it doesn't all happen at once.
Well, you know, we're doing now what we've always done. We sit down at a meeting, well, we should do this, we can do this, we can do that, we can do the other thing, and then that's as far as it goes.
Well, it would seem to me...
We got to take it further.
It would seem to me like...
sit down and make up our mind what we want.
I don't know that we would need... the design in the next 2 weeks, but it would seem to me that if we commit to putting it in the outfield and saying we want a pavilion that's this size, 60 by 80, it doesn't matter whether it looks like a mushroom, it's 60 by 80, you know, and then say, well, this is big enough for a playground beyond it, and then we can worry about the incidental part of it later.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it looks like a castle or a Burger King. I mean, if it's going to be 60 by 80 or whatever we decide,
right,
we at least we can stake that area off and say, okay, and then this area is big enough for the playground area, for the kids to do their thing, and maybe that's a start. And then at some point we can say, okay, now we're going to buy a new swing set, or we're going to get a jungle gym or a tower with a pole or whatever that, you know. I mean, but I think if we can all collectively agree on the place, but part of the problem is it's, well, we should have it up here, we should have it over here, we should have it there, and that's where it all...
You can't bring in VLTC, you can't bring in Act 250, you know what the hell you're doing.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult. Two pieces.
Yeah. So the difficult thing is finding somebody to sit down and draw out a plan.
Yeah.
Well, you have to pay for that.
Do we want one? If we want one, what size do we want? Then where are you going to put it, and then go from there?
Yeah.
What's around us comparable to what... Where can we go look at something?
I mean, have you been to Pingree Park? Have you been there?
Where's Pingree Park?
Londonderry. You've been there for the games.
Yeah.
That's real. It's basic. It's just a slab, and it's all open size.
Right. Yeah.
Just got picnic tables and a place for people to barbecue and do community barbecues up there all the time.
Towns and Dan has a couple of nice ones up there. They got one they call the Stratton House, or the Stratton something or other.
Yeah.
It should take a look at these things. So, you know, because a picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
You know,
and you could go as simple as getting a culvert, half culvert, just close in the ends.
Watson hut?
Like that, yeah. Only bigger.
It'd be hotter than hell in there. You want to have something that's got a lot of air flowing into it, I would think.
The ends open.
We're not doing a Quonset hut now.
I'm just saying.
And I think if Rob did something, it would be nice.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
it would
sure,
be,
you know,
I mean, and I'm, I don't
mean,
say
budgetary-wise, I think we could probably,
you know,
come in a little lower, but.
Yeah. Well, and Rob did say that there may be part of it that he might be willing to donate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we have to know what we want to do before we can ask him to make that kind of commitment. Right. You know, I mean.
All right. So moving forward, I mean. I have no problem with it being at the end of the ball field.
I don't.
The only concern I have there is perhaps we would need to add, you know, let's say 5 spots or 8
parking.
Spots for parking.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we go look at Londonderry's, measure how big it is, you know, think about, you know, I mean, like, how big was the tent for your wedding?
That was huge. I don't know.
I bet it was that one that was 60 by 100.
200-person wedding,
yeah.
60 by 40. That was big.
Oh, no,
it's not.
That's small.
It's
small.
Yeah, it's,
Yeah, I mean, we need to look at some large buildings.
Londonderry's is not huge.
What's that?
Londonderry's is not big.
It's not as big as your tent.
I mean, the town of Vernon has a nice outdoor thing, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think there's also something to be said for, you know, we don't need to build a pavilion for, you know, the three weddings that have been at the rec in the last 15 years. But if we have, you know, a 40 by 60, let's just say, that handles 90% of what's going to happen there. Probably 98%.
If you're going to have a wedding,
and if you're going to have a wedding, you got a pavilion for a base area, and you got to rent a tent.
Not another tent.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of room. Yeah.
It would cover the recreational part of
all
the games and stuff down there.
We've got.
So what we do is we've got
$90,000 in the budget now.
Well, when I'm down there playing around with the dugouts, I'll try to come up with some measurements of what I think is a reasonable ball field and then what I think is left.
Right.
And then that'll give us an idea of kind of like the kind of square footage that we're looking at between there and the tree line.
Maybe drive a few stakes in just to visualize it or something.
Yeah. And then, you know, at some point, and I think if we can get more input, you know, and
you think you're going to be able to have some parents kind of come together?
Yeah, I'm happy to try to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get feedback. Design,
but, I mean, but I think ultimately we should go through VLTC just to make sure we got our ass covered legally. Oops, excuse me. And then naturally the state. If it's Act 250, we got to kind of confer with them too.
Well, yeah, well, we have to come up with some kind of design.
We're going to come up with what we want.
We need to plan first. Basically, locate a pavilion, what size it is, and locate a playground. Mm-hmm.
We have to keep all the changes in places where it hasn't. It's already developed and not.
Yeah.
Not true.
Right. We're not.
Something
right.
Not
change of use. Using. You know, I mean, it's. Right. Well, you're changing the use, but it's. You know, it's
really. Yeah, that's why I have to think about the outhouse. I mean, that's up above, and if you're going to put the pavilion playground down there, then you're that much further away from that. Well, too.
Better, so. You have to put one down there, you know, or, you know,
a septic tank.
My kids use the woods anyway. They don't like that thing.
Yeah.
It scares them.
Yeah, it's pretty scary to be old. On
Cool. You just put a freaking septic tank here, and that's what that one is. Yeah.
That's all that one is. $10,000 house on top of it.
Yeah. And I'll bet they're $40,000 now.
Oh, yeah.
They just put new ones at Grau Pond.
Today.
Yeah, they just replaced them.
Buy a porta potty a lot cheaper and just set it on the septic tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw it down to the septic tank. You're done.
Yeah.
Put a gasket on it and call it a day.
Yeah, perfect. Put two or three of them side by each.
That's like something new.
It's like an ATM machine.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah,
so
I'm happy to help.
You're going to measure out some stuff.
Yep.
Next time you're at Pingree Park.
Yeah.
Get Kristen Whip out his tape measure.
Yeah. You know, take some pictures. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
I probably have some.
That's a cool little park. I never even knew it. That place is like tucked away.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's like right across from IGA. You know, up the intersection as you're headed towards Land Grove.
The triangle there?
Yeah. Go straight across by the graveyard, the cemetery.
It's kind of,
right,
the entry
behind the
in and out is kind of a.
Sucks. It shares a driveway with a house. It's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Well, it's surprising nobody's ever gotten clobbered coming down, you know, pulling in and out of there. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it would be good to have some of Rob's input, you know, because maybe, you know, he's got a lot of experience in that kind of stuff. And
maybe we'll get the ball rolling. All right, so you're going to get started with the dugouts and layout, stuff like that.
Yep. We'll go down and we'll start with those and see what we can do. And
you're going to get us an idea on what we're doing there. If you see any other red flags, let us know.
Yep.
And, okay, we got to start.
Yep.
If you guys want to come back to the next meeting, we can. If you, I don't know, if you hook up with some parents and have some ideas too, bring them along.
Yeah. The more the merrier.
I mean,
you know, I mean, the more.
I think it makes more sense to wait until.
We don't have a rec committee
plan
anymore, do we?
Yeah.
We are the rec
committee.
Yeah,
we've been that way for a while.
We used to have separate ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been a while, right?
Yeah.
That kind of fell apart. Rob was on that. That's why we got.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Sargent was part of that too.
Paul Sargent was too.
Yeah. All right. I think we made some progress anyway.
We probably don't want to plan too much for the next meeting.
I was going to say next meeting is going to be the major concerns is going to come in the next meeting, yeah, so that could be a long one.
Yeah. It'll give you some time. You know, it'll give you like a full month to actually, you know. So.
Yeah, just give me a
second. If we do schedule one in and you guys want to come in, what we ought to do is actually go up there.
Yeah.
Do a site visit first, then come back down here. And,
yeah.
You
know. We'll have a meeting down there.
We can do that too.
Bring a flamethrower for the bugs. The deer flies will kill you.
Yeah,
they're awful.
Big enough for the bug.
They're like about the size of a hummingbird. This year,
I'll bring my generator. We can set it right on top of it.
Okay,
all right. Well, thank you guys.
No, thank you guys.
Thanks,
yeah.
Guys.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
He's here.
Yeah, no problem. See you later.
Yeah. Bye.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Oh, Town Forest and Rec Area Trails update.
We got Nature Conservancy coming to the next meeting.
Excuse me. Nah, I don't. I'm just doodling here, just crossing stuff off.
Oh, they are definitely coming.
They are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob going to be here.
Yep.
I would assume so. Yes.
Good. Should make sure he's making it.
Yep. He's already planned.
Yeah. He's.
I'm talking to him.
Okay, cool.
No discussion. No discussion.
Correct.
Road crew issues.
Not too much. We've been, doing some grading. The work that we did on Penny Avenue, I got to get a little bit of hydro seeding done on those steep banks, and then that road will be completely compliant with the MRGP, and we'll get our money. We get $10,000. Penny Avenue, all that ditching and all that stuff. Yep. Again, but I gotta find someone to hydro seed those really steep banks because I can't keep any cedar hay on them. You know, it's not a whole lot, so I'm trying to figure out if either Jim Ryan or Hunter can, if they have any that they're going by, they can just spray them. It's only about 600 feet, you know. It's
Mikey
not,
Urquhart's got a little one, huh? You know Mikey?
Yeah, I
know.
Okay. Yeah. No, it might be a good thing, because it's not a big job.
Cook don't have something like that, no?
He doesn't have a hydro seeder, no.
No.
And I don't want one. They were giving all this grant money away, and you know, there are a lot of maintenance and a lot of messing around.
Yeah, they're,
you know,
they can be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, they can.
And they're finicky.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Work with him.
Yeah, I may reach out to him. I texted a little bit with Travis today in Dover to see if by chance they were going to be doing any, and I was going to see if we could work a deal where they could do it and bill us.
Yeah.
You know, but he said ours is out on loan right now to the town of Newfane, and I really don't have any plan right now, and it's just, you know, so, but I'll figure it out, but. So that road's done. We've been, doing.
Mike's number. I got it.
Oh, okay. Yep. I've been doing some. We're working on some grading. Dana has the roadside mowing done, and I think this budget season we're going to have to think about buying like a brush hog for our excavator. He will still do all the cutter bar stuff, but his over the rail mower is pretty much on its way out, and he's not going to fix it.
That old yellow one.
Yeah. The old tractor. The transmission's going in it. He's lost second, fourth gear in it. Yeah. And he said, I'm at the point in my life where I'm not going to replace it. Yeah. You know. So we have that machine. I'll get some prices for budget season. The guys have done most of the over-the-rail stuff with the weed whackers right now. Thank you. And what they haven't done, skipping 1 year of it isn't going to hurt anything. It's not going to brush in 1 year. So.
Right. Yeah.
When budget season comes around, we could probably put one on our rig, and it would still be good to have Dana do all the cutter bar work, and then probably within a couple of days, Stuart or Tim can run around and do the stuff he can't do.
Right.
Yeah, the majority is cutter bar
work. Yeah, really. Yeah. Right. And I mean, he does it so reasonably, and he does such a good job, you know, as long as he's willing to keep doing it,
yeah.
We ought to keep having him do
how
it.
How old is Dana now?
Early 70s, you know. And
You know.
Yeah.
How much longer?
Well, and that's part of the reason that if we get set up for it, then
knowing Dana, if he lives to be 100 and Joe will do it the least.
Well, and he said today, I want to keep a few towns like you guys for when I do fully retire. Okay. You know, so he said, I don't want to completely give it up, but he's pretty much done. He's going to do some brush hogging for us in the rec area like he always does,
right.
And then he'll be finished. We've been working on the grader a bit. You probably saw there's about a $6,400 bill in there for that. It's not done yet, but it needed some repairs. So, and other than that, we're just kind of just plugging along. I have cleaned up a few areas down at the dump. The bulbs I'm going to have better control of. I got all the waste oil and all the used antifreeze taken out of there professionally, and we have documentation of it. So that's part of. No, I didn't. I consulted with Randy, and Randy helped me out with that quite a bit. Actually, he's a good resource. You know,
he's a real nice guy.
Oh, he is a good guy, and anytime I have a question, he always has a good answer. So, Safety Clean's doing our hazardous stuff now, and they just come and suck it right out of the barrel. So,
perfect.
And it's pretty reasonable. And part of the law is having a paper trail on where it's going.
Right.
Because they don't want us giving it to somebody that's not qualified or somebody that's going to be pouring it over the bank into the brook behind their facility or, you know.
Right.
So it costs us more than it used to, but I think it's money well spent down the road that, you know, we're not getting in any kind of trouble. So, and we have a new system for the bulbs and batteries and stuff that we just got to build a little rack to put that stuff in. And I'm not 100% sure when Scott's coming back. When I went on vacation, I think I was under the impression that Scott would be starting this Sunday coming up, but I don't know that. I've kind of been out of the loop because today's
Mark
my first day.
14, but I don't know.
Yeah, and that would be Sunday.
Scott,
So,
talk to Scott up. He said 14.
So hopefully there's that. And then the only other thing that I've been working on a little bit is after the last meeting with Carson, I've done some research on the training on the road and the signage.
Yeah.
And from what I can come up with, there's really no guidance about signing a public highway for a training facility, basically. There's really no guidance in the MUTCD about it. So I called this guy at this company called Traffic Logics because they do everything from stop signs right up to flashing interstate signs and pavement markings. And the guy said, really doesn't exist. He said, most athletes train in a training facility and not on a public highway. And he said, if you custom make signs, he said, I'm not a lawyer, but I would recommend that you check with a lawyer to make sure you're not opening yourself up for liability, because by putting a sign up, you're basically recognizing that there's an issue. I also talked to Trevor in Wynn Hall about the signs that Carson brought up, and Trevor informed me that the town of Wynn Hall told the Stratton Mountain School they don't want them on their roads, and those signs weren't put in for their benefit. He said they were put in on Wynn Hall Hollow Road because they have a lot of people that walk and jog and walk their dogs on it, and I guess people were complaining about the speed of the traffic. So they just put up a simple sign that says, it's just
big,
a small little sign.
It's big, and it lists,
you know, beware of walking, jogging, and, you know. So it really doesn't. None of it really addresses training per se.
Yeah.
So I think this may be a good answer for Bob Fisher when we have him at a meeting to see what, I mean, if we allow them to either supply, I mean, I think you can get a sign made that says anything, but whether you're, does that mean that we're encouraging that or condoning it? And then who's liable for it if it goes bad? It is my concern, you know?
I think we ought to forget the signs and just control it through people, through the school.
We ought to also have some kind of a contract or something with them that we're not held liable in case, you know, we have no control over what they do.
Like I said, since we're going to have Bobby at a meeting, when that part of that meeting adjourns, it may be a good idea to pick his brain while we have him sit here and just say, think about this, you know, and see where we stand on. Because I really don't know what to tell anybody based on the research I've done.
Wynn Hall flat out won't let him train.
Well, that's according to Trevor. Trevor said
the road guy?
Yeah, he said the town of Wynn Hall told him we don't want him down here training.
Yeah.
So
I don't ever recall seeing them in Winhall. Not that I'm over that
way. I don't either. And I don't ride their roads much, you know, but that was how he explained it to me. Because I called him to find out what these signs were. And he said, I'll take a picture of one in about a half an hour because I'm going to be mowing by one of them. And he did. He sent me a picture of it. It's nothing to write home about. It's just a very basic. And he said that was really put in place for our own citizens, not them. He said we told them we didn't want them training on our roads.
Carson was, what, to put up these flashing signs or solar power?
Yeah. Well, it was something that I threw out as an option. Yeah. But now the more that I'm looking into it, I don't think there's any signs that really speak to this kind of thing. I also called the road foreman in Stowe because Jeff Nugent from WRC told me that he saw some signs up in Stowe, but the guy said those are on a dedicated bike path, and he said they're nothing to do with our public highway. Right. He said we did put signage up for bicycles and that kind of stuff, but he said they're not public highway signs.
I think we're going to be getting ourselves in trouble if we start putting signs.
I do too. I think potentially we could.
I can see how we almost like take on liability.
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
By providing this sign that provides an assumption of,
you know,
increased safety.
You know, the reason for the sign is because you recognize there's a problem, and now you're kind of admitting to the fact that you have this problem, and that's why I think when Bob's here, it may not hurt us to
I think we already have something in writing so that we're not held liable for anything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to put it, I think it's a dangerous situation.
I do.
It just is. It's not. You can't call it a safe situation.
I mean, I don't. You know, I have nothing against the school, and I understand they need to train, and I get it. I totally, you know, totally support what they're trying to do. I'm just concerned that someone's, you know, I'm amazed that somebody hasn't been hurt.
I mean, it's like,
So that's all I know about that, and that's really all I have. The new radio system that we budgeted for is in, and it works dynamite, so that's good.
Those ones?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. It works really well, so. And, you know, as we know, the paving's complete. Nothing new to report on the Grout Pond project yet. I haven't heard anything back from the engineers, so.
Okay.
That's it. And then soon I'll be starting on that next truck that we got to do for next year, but we got to start getting the cab in the works. But that's, you know, we have money for that. And I'll be prepared at budget time to see what a brush hog will cost. So.
Okay, tax rate.
I think it was in our orders.
Yeah, I think.
It's in the orders. It's the first thing in the orders, isn't it?
Yep.
I think we all signed it already.
Yep.
What are they, Jim? I'm just writing down the slide here.
1.09 and 1.42 in there.
Homestead tax rate is 1.0636. Non-homestead tax rate is 1.4282.
Kent, has the recorder just turned its screen off, or is it going to sleep? I don't know. Okay.
We talked too long. We wore it out. All requests, we have a lot of...
Not what?
No. Motion to approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve the tax rate.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, and then it's probably a good time to do that approval of changing the 23 grand. Okay. You want to see this?
Which one is it? Training is?
Yeah, it's for Skyfall. Okay. The state came up, the property valuation review decided at their appeal hearing to change the total assessed value to $533,700.
What do we have it at?
$670,000. It'll be in there. It's about $80,000.
Okay.
Value determined by the Board of Civil Authority $617,400. Value determined by the property tax hearing officer, $533,700.
We don't ever win these appeals, do we, when they go to state? I don't remember ever winning one.
Yeah, we haven't had one in years. This is the first one I think Allie has had to deal with. It's been that long. Yeah. I know we won one in Superior Court a few years back. That's not what he was asking for. This is it's quite a bit higher than what he was asking for, arguing for.
What was he arguing for?
I don't remember. Somewhere.
$400,000, $200,000 or $300,000.
Oh, really? I don't know.
It was way, way lower. I don't remember what it was.
Anyway, I don't know. I wasn't part of it. So.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the amendment to the grand list.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and then additionally. Would be to have the treasurer consult with the attorney on reimbursement for the tax change, for the assessment change. That's what Alan wants to do, is consult with him to ensure what proper amount to save in it. Because there's a 1% per month included, and she wants to have specific dimensions on that window.
So she wants approval to do so from us?
Yeah, to discuss that with the attorney and then.
So I'll make a motion to allow the treasurer.
When she cuts that check, you guys will approve that amount.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second
that. Okay. Yeah. All is fair.
Aye.
Plant maintenance agreement with Powers. Which one we want up top?
Where do you want, Chris?
Whatever we gotta. I haven't really seen it, so I guess whatever.
There's three options.
Annual preventative maintenance, $1,554. Semi-annual, $2,436. Or quarterly, $4,200.
I think we've been doing the annual one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or my generator gets serviced. And mine runs like a champ still. So.
Yeah. How much is it for a year?
$1,500, $1,554.
Okay. I think that works.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that first?
Do you guys touch that thing at all?
We check like oil and coolant level in it from time to time and stuff like that, you know, just to make sure. I mean, with the old one, we used to have to because it would burn a lot of oil.
The only thing I could think of is diesels are harder on oil than propane is, and it might make sense to change the oil in that thing.
Well, they do.
But to change the oil in it more than once a year.
Well, it probably depends on how many hours you put on it. I mean,
well,
the propane one was self-changing because it would burn 4 out of 5 quarts every time it ran. I mean, you were putting new oil in it all the time.
Whenever you read about an oil change service interval, it is either an hour or a mileage or a time. Just sits in that crankcase for 6 months.
Well, it's not being run, it don't hurt anything.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
What
does it hurt?
It needs to run. Yeah.
The oil just goes bad once it's contaminated with the soot and everything else that it gets in it from being pumped through an engine. It begins to go bad. Oil does not have an indefinite service life if it is not being used.
Yeah, but don't they test fire like once a week or something?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, but okay. My point is, it might be something to consider that
go semi-annually.
Well, or I mean, I mean, $1,500 for, you know, what, the semi-annual is $2,600?
$2,436. Quarterly is $4,200.
That's a $1,300 oil change. I don't know. That's a lot of money for an oil change.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many gallons of oil this thing holds.
This is just on, is it on all average or what?
How is it worded? Does it?
Yeah, I didn't look actually. Is it?
Town office.
It's got town office on there.
Town office, town garage, town back.
It's all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I can check with Riley and see if they have a recommendation, but he didn't say anything about more than once a year. I mean,
can I see it again? Yeah.
I can ask him. I mean, but we've been doing, you know, annually on the ones that we've had, and he didn't, when he went through the walkthrough with us, he didn't say anything about more than once a year. I don't know.
Because you're not going to have that much pollution in the time it runs once a week. Couple hours or whatever time it runs.
You would think they would tell us once a year is not good enough, wouldn't you think?
Just ask him the question on that diesel.
I know, like our newer trucks, we're not changing the oil as often. I mean, Eric said some of the over the road trucks are 30,000 and 40,000 miles between oil changes, you know, like the new Detroits and stuff. Because I asked him, you know, when we first switched over to Detroit, I said, do we have a break-in? And he said, no. Nope. He said, just run it. And he said, for the amount of miles you put on, he said, I'd change it once a year. You know, so we generally maintain them in the fall. Yeah. I usually send them both over, get the oil change, have them go through everything for the winter, and they test the coolant. And they're going to test the pH on the coolant annually.
Is it synthetic oil these?
Probably.
No, it's just 1540. In the new generation. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
I said, if we have to add oil, he said, yeah, 1540.
Yeah. I think they run synthetic in those things now.
I don't know.
I don't think our big trucks are.
I don't think you can use synthetic.
Really?
Yeah, you can.
A big diesel engine?
Yeah. 1540 synthetic, whether it's synthetic or conventional, it can still meet the viscosity rating. I would just ask the question. You know,
yeah.
And maybe, you know, I mean, we could ask them if they ever do oil analysis.
They do. They're going to want this one.
Yeah, are they? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's good to know. Because I'd be interested to see what.
So we're putting this off for the next meeting?
Sure.
Town Hall Rec Area Request. How else to be there you want to run? July
20th. Make motions.
She just recently called. Yeah. On July, what was it, July
20th?
July 20th. The day of the sunrise from Tennessee.
Uh-huh. I'll make a motion to approve that.
Second.
Aye.
Aye. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of 6/24/24.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any other business that may legally come before the board?
We're getting into overtime, but where are we at on the town party?
Steve had asked me before the last meeting when he should come in, and I told him not to come to the last meeting because we had a lot going on.
Okay.
I thought he was coming to this one. I had mentioned this one, but he didn't reach out to me today. And like I said, I've been on vacation. And,
So
he probably shouldn't come to the next one either if we got that nature concern. So.
Yeah.
Nature Conservancy shouldn't take too long if he wants to come later. I mean, it's going to take a while. But.
Well, I mean, we could also have him come to the next one and put him first, you know, ahead of them on the agenda and figure that, I mean, what do do we need from Stevie? A quick update, make sure things are moving?
Yeah, just get prices up, get more prices on things.
And well, the way I left it with him at the last meeting was I said, unless you absolutely have to come, you know, because it's vital, I said, you may be waiting a while. Well, you know, I said, because we've got to go through. And then I said, in part of the meeting, you may be asked to leave if we go into executive session with a lawyer, you know. So he said, no, he said, it's not that important. And I'll reach out to him and see if he can, you know.
Okay. Yeah, when do we plan on doing this? Do we have a
middle date? Of September.
Yeah, we picked the date. Yeah. We picked the date. What was it, the weekend after Labor Day?
I think so, yeah. And I mean, the other side of it is, you know, maybe we could warn it for 7:15 and have him come in, you know, and just blow him out of there and then just have a regular meeting, you know.
Yeah, that too.
I'll talk to Ace with him tomorrow and I'll let you know.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.